Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids.
Got a former Navy SEAL on the show today, Ephraim Matos. How are you, buddy?
Doing good. Good to see you again.
I gotta drop my voice down when I say that, you know?
Yeah.
I gotta get real intense with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had a Navy SEAL on the show today.
Yeah, I have the weakest voice ever, so I'm always like trying to go down a couple
Why
octaves.
Is that? Why is that? Usually Why Navy SEALs are loud as shit. We've had, what, 80 on this show, you think? what do you reckon, D'Anthony?
80.
Yeah.
Probably 80.
Ray Cash Care, you know, super in your face. Hey, fuck you. Did you make your bed today?
Yeah,
did
no.
Did you, Ephraim?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
Stayed at a hotel.
Good.
No.
Good.
No.
I like that. We don't do that either.
Making your bed is one of the most pointless things you will ever do in your life.
Well, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
It's
nice to come home, too. I'm glad my wife does it.
No.
I enjoy it.
Why?
But for you, you get to come home to a freshly made bed. Some maid will do that tonight for you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
In Austin, Texas.
There you go.
I don't know. They're not really servicing the rooms like they used to before.
COVID? Man, can we fucking rage about that? Because you're right. And now you have to call down and ask, oh, sir, would you like rooms? Yes, motherfucker, I want the room cleaned.
It's what it is.
It's free.
It's shrinkflation inside of the service economy, right?
Yeah.
It's like they found some kind of semi-legitimate excuse to stop doing the work that they were getting paid for.
Yeah, dude.
And now they're just not going to do it again.
It's bullshit.
That's how it
is
goes.
What it is. And I don't need you to come up. Oh, do you like service? Yes, service the room. I want 90 towels.
Mm-hmm.
Stack them as high as they'll go.
Like that's why I'm giving you money.
I want to dry off each body part individually and then throw that towel in the corner.
Well, I pound it off 8-9 times a day if I'm in a hotel just out of boredom.
Sure.
So there's towels all over the place.
Yeah. And you're going to need that.
Yeah.
So yes, stop doing this bullshit. And then the tipping thing, obviously, we've already, you know, raged against that already, but man, we're over the COVID. You touch the sheets, touch the clothes,
mm-hmm.
Lick them. Go full Rudy Gobert. Start licking all the things. You know
I
what
expect
I'm saying?
If I'm so, whenever I do pound off in the hotel, which is pretty much always, I leave the door cracked,
right,
hoping that
the maid will come in,
and then if she comes in and fucking watches, then I will tip her.
Have you ever had a hot maid at a hotel ever in your entire life?
Not once.
Me
no.
neither. Not once have no, I not, ever seen one.
The last couple of times, it's been dudes.
Really?
Yeah. Like in Daytona.
That's right, dude. Yeah, it was a dude.
He kept trying to talk to me. I'm like, no, I'm not into this.
Well, he was a huge fan of yours.
You
know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because he came up to the door and was just like, holy shit.
Oh, no, not bros. That guy. That guy was cool.
Okay.
That's the front desk guy. No, the guy that was patrolling the hallways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a dude. Yeah.
Like, do whatever you want in your life. I'm fine
I know.
With that,
but it's fine. It's fine.
Don't involve
it's
me
just
in that
unusual,
shit.
But I've never actually seen one hot maid where you're like, oh, all right. And if I ever see a porn where there's one, it's fake. Where you're just like, that's not a real thing. Fucking next video. Let's move on with our lives because that's not fucking real.
We should start our own hotel.
Fair enough.
Where the maids are hot and they come jack you off.
Well, they tried to. They tried to do that out in Vegas. It was called Hooters Hotel. Bob, does Hooters Hotel still exist?
Yeah.
It's still there?
It's still there.
No shit.
Well, I mean, the building's still there.
Okay.
That doesn't necessarily mean that it's still operational.
Because next time we go out to Vegas over there, I'd like to have those wings and then gamble for a little bit and just see what the whole vibe is. But I think they switched it up, right? It's kind of Uggos now,
well,
Hooter, shit like that.
Hooters is going to rebrand.
Are they?
They said that people don't care about titties anymore, so they're going to do something else now.
You're kidding.
It's buttholes.
Yeah. Is it going to be buttholes?
It's going to be called Buttles. Buttle apostrophe S.
I like that. I like that. It's that's a street in downtown Columbus, Ohio, named Buttles, right down in the Short North. So yeah, dude, let's do it.
Well, the Short North is where dudes get plowed. So
sure is. How did you know that?
You told me when we were there.
That's right,
four years ago.
Oof, yeah, man, it's a big butthole town. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Is it still alive?
Yep.
We got it?
Hooters Casino
no
Hotel
way.
In Las Vegas.
Shit.
So what,
dude.
Do you just order wings to the room or what?
That would be a dream. Is my wife still here? Is she over there?
Yeah.
Wings to the room. That I think that's her dream. If you could get fresh, hot wings to your room, that's it. That's as good as life gets.
I think you can get that pretty much anywhere in Vegas, though.
Not good wings, though. Not good wings. That's a different story. I love the wings at Hooters. So I'm all in. If those came hot to the room, because usually, have you ordered takeout wings? I know we weren't going there today, but we should. Takeout wings suck because you can't get them home fast enough.
Yeah, they're cold and soggy.
Well, you got to toss them in the air fryer. That's the solution.
Does it work?
Oh, yeah.
We don't have one.
About 12 minutes in the air fryer.
Oh, you got to get an air fryer.
Okay.
You have to.
That's what everybody says. I got one for my mom for Christmas. I think she's used it.
It's science. I've been putting everything in there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what everybody says.
My dog died. Put him in the air fryer.
Boom. Back to life. Yep. And he's 6 years younger. Yep. Yeah. Every single time. From last time you were here, we talked about Burma a lot. About Rambo.
Yeah.
Do you remember that discussion on Rambo?
Yeah.
Wait, what did he say?
Rambo.
No.
What did Ephraim say about Rambo? He called him a fucking pussy, and he said he could kill him.
Well, Sylvester Stallone is like fucking 3 feet tall, so that's not a big deal.
He's not in the movie, though.
No.
In the movie, he's taller.
But what did Sly say in the movie?
Sly. In the movie Rambo?
I don't remember.
You don't remember the one?
No.
Digging in guns?
Digging guns?
Oh yeah. You're taking the guns. You're not going to do any. Yeah, you're not going to make any difference.
Yeah.
That's fair.
We're just trying to make a difference, John Rambo.
That's all we're doing is trying to make a fucking difference out there, dude. And that's all you're doing.
That's right. You're trying to make a difference out in the world. That's right.
You're helping people.
That's right. That's the goal. Through humanitarian
efforts. What are you doing these days?
Yeah. So I actually just got back from spending 4 months in Burma. I've basically been there since the beginning of November. And my organization, Stronghold Rescue and Relief, we've been setting up jungle ambulances and doing a bunch of stuff to help basically protect refugees and people who are under attack. Just doing some, I guess we'll call it like basic advising and setting up early warning communication systems. Because the Central Burma Army, right? They're the ones who control the government. They are the government.
Just like in the movie.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Just like in the movie. And so they're going around raping, murdering, killing everybody. And the entire country is in total revolt right now. So tons of genocide, all that kind of stuff happening. And so we're out there near the front lines, not always on the front lines, but near the front lines, basically trying to help the locals and the local civilian leaders to figure out, okay, how can you protect civilians? How can you keep them from getting hurt? And then we also bring in, like I said, a lot of radios and things like that. So the locals can communicate when these attacks happen, because they happen at random. There's airstrikes that come in. There's all kinds of stuff. Actually, just yesterday, an airstrike in a village that we normally work in, the Burma Army bombed it 3 times. So they bring in fighter jets, and they're dropping bombs on,
civilians?
On civilians, bamboo huts. And so yesterday, most of the civilians, they're able to run away because they hear the aircraft coming, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're able to get into the jungle. But then what happens is, like, you have like old folks or people who are injured, and they can't get away. And so yesterday there was actually a 70-year-old man in this village. The Burma Army dropped 3 like 500-pound bombs on these, you know, bamboo huts. And this old man was wounded. And then it took like, I don't know the exact amount of time, but it probably took like 16 hours or so, maybe 16 hours to get him to like the next level of care. But as they were moving this guy through the jungle, they had to go down a river, across a lake, all this stuff, have this guy in a boat. And this is a frail old man trying to get him to this clinic.
How old is he?
70.
Okay.
70-year-old guy. And, he's peppered with shrapnel and stuff in his side. And, so when they got him across the lake, our team, our Stronghold guys were actually there, the local tribe guys that we work with. We have an ambulance there, and they were able to get this guy packaged up. We had a PA as well there, a physician's assistant, and got this guy, transported him several more hours to get him to a clinic that's being run by another organization. They do great work. And then I just found out this morning that guy had heart failure from the injuries, and the clinic that we that we drop our patients off at had to basically cut this guy open from basically to get access to his heart and help him. I don't understand. I'm not a medic, but and then they had to use equipment that we had purchased, that Stronghold had purchased for this organization several months ago, to do anesthesia on this guy in the middle of the jungle in like a tent. And they're running these highly complicated surgeries out there. So the point is, like, there's no medical infrastructure. People are being attacked, raped, blown up, all this stuff, and there's no medical. And so for the last 4 months, we've been there really advising on that and getting a bunch of stuff set up. And I just got back few weeks ago, and yeah, so I'm not here.
Why doesn't the media report on any of this? Because if you weren't on the show today, I never would have heard single fucking word about this.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's tough because, you know, there's so many conflicts going on around the world, right? You have all of Africa.
Now there's one.
Yeah, Ukraine. There's Ukraine, exactly.
That's it. That's the only one
that people know about.
That's all. Exactly. That's all that's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know why people don't necessarily report on these specifically, but I think, you know, so Burma is not the most important geopolitically, not the most important place geopolitically, right? Just like a lot of the conflicts that happen in Africa or Haiti or South America, they're not the most important places, so they don't get tons of attention. But that's why we work there, right? That's why we go there. That's why we go and work in these places, because there just isn't a bunch of attention there. And that's what we try to fill that gap as much as possible.
Got to get Tim Tebow in there. He did brain surgery on somebody.
He did. He also made a kid walk. Yeah. Are you familiar with Tim Tebow?
I know.
Popular college football quarterback.
I know who he is. Yeah.
I actually took down the Ohio State University for a national championship. I was at the game.
Yeah. What was it? 2009?
2008, I believe.
He did brain surgery in Costa Rica or something.
He sure did. Yeah. Brain surgery there. My mom had called because I'm super young. She had called and did the Make-A-Wish thing with him. So I got to throw footballs, and I got up right out of my wheelchair and caught the ball. Tim did that. I had no reason to be in a wheelchair. but still, the pass went high. Obviously, that's what he was known for. But I did get up and do it.
Yeah.
But I felt powerful and strong and everything else. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you bring him over there, you could save that entire country. And just, I'm, again, spitballing, mm-hmm. just throwing out some ideas.
Well, that's why I'm here. I'm here to make a plea to Tim Tebow to come
help
us.
Do you want to look in that camera? Yeah, just look in that camera.
Where's Tim Tebow over there.
Say,
all right, perfect.
Yeah, say
Tim.
Tim
Tebow, we need you.
Yeah, through Christ, say Tim, I know through Christ anything is possible. And if you help me out, we can save all these Burmese. Is it Burmese?
So Burma is called Burma right now, but it's also called Myanmar, and so there's a lot of different ethnicities. So Burmese is like technically like a specific ethnicity.
Okay,
it would be like calling the United States white people.
Yeah, something like that.
It's where Letwei is practiced, right?
That's where what?
Letwei, where they like headbutt people, the fighting style in Myanmar.
Headbutt people?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's part of their. They have a Muay Thai tradition that they got going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're allowed to, you're allowed to headbutt.
Well, how do you refer to that's somebody from Myanmar, though?
That's a great question. I have no idea.
Myanmarese, dude. Yeah.
But everybody that doesn't support the government, for the most part, everybody still calls it Burma because the military dictatorship, they're the one that renamed it to Myanmar. Mm, so everybody just sort of has like a point of resistance usually refers to it as Burma. Not everybody, but most do.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have an answer for that.
That's you should.
Yeah.
You should definitely, before you come on a podcast, have that answer. But,
exactly.
I don't think anybody knows.
No, nobody really knows.
I don't think they know. That's the thing. You could ask them, like, what do you guys call yourselves? And they're like, I don't know. Yeah.
To be honest with you, it's one of those countries where you kind of forget about it because mm-hmm. there's been conflict for how many fucking years now at this point?
Well, basically, World War II never ended there.
Yeah.
World War II's been going on.
It's been going for 70 years now at this point. Mm-hmm. And you wonder to yourself, all right, well, how do you fix this?
Mm-hmm.
What are the answers?
Right. Well, what's the answer to fix it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so...
new political party, new government. No.
So basically what has to happen is in this particular situation, the entire system has to be dismantled. And so it's a uniquely challenging situation because it's not a political problem necessarily. It's an oppression problem. So you have the government in and of itself is the military. So it's not like elected officials who are abusing their power to use the military to like silence opponents. It's like, no, the General Miao Lai, he's the dude who's in charge. Like he's in charge, and so he is the president, if you will, right? So you have to defeat the army in order to be able to set up any kind of political, any sort of legitimate political structure. So it's
gotcha,
yeah.
It's, and you guys aren't helping out in any of that whatsoever. You're just simply helping the people.
Yeah, so we're helping the people. We will provide medical care and things like that on the front line. Like, don't get me wrong. So we get bombed, we get shot at. Just over the last few months, I've been shot at a bunch. I've been mortared a bunch. But it's when we're up at the front lines providing medical care and getting people out of there. Yeah,
because one would imagine the Burmese army, if you will, is mm-hmm. amped to see some white men there.
Yeah.
Helping out.
They'll kill us 100%. They'll kill us if they see us.
Okay,
gotcha. Call, yeah, no doubt, no
what
doubt.
What do they call white people there?
Is it still honkies or no?
No, no, no. So the tribe we work with, the Karen tribe, their word for white people is Kalawa.
Oh,
Kalawa. What does that mean?
Yeah, yeah. Just means white person. Literally, that's kind of literally
that's,
white
that's
person.
That's a lot better than gringo or honky or yeah, I'll take yeah. that.
What does yeah. gringo that's not mean? Bad. Gringo means other or something.
No, it means white. Mm-hmm. It means you're...
That's blanco, homeboy.
No, no.
That's the slang.
That's the slang for a white man is gringo.
No, I understand that, but what does it actually mean?
The U.S. military wore green coats when they were marching through Mexican territory, and the Mexicans would say, green, go home. These words eventually got meshed together to gringo.
There you go, Bob. Look at that. Look at that,
that's actually very fascinating.
Yeah, isn't it?
I'm like, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, so...
Interesting.
When you come here... we're not just podcast hosts. We're also educators.
Yes, naturally.
So you can take something home with you.
Perfect.
Put that in your pocket and use it whenever you want.
Yeah. I mostly educate.
I'll tell the people in Burma because that's what they're most concerned
please
about.
Do. They
yeah, yeah,
please do.
Yeah.
I mostly educate the homeless.
Yeah.
So I go downtown and I yell at them about Jesus all the time.
All day long.
Not that he's coming back, but that he's not coming back because you're homeless and you're upsetting him.
He's got like a karaoke setup where it's one mic, one amp, and then he'll kind of scream at them about Jesus.
There you go.
For hours. So Dan's that guy.
There you go.
You were here, what, a year and a half ago?
No, it was like 3 years ago.
Holy shit.
Well, it was like, I think it was right before COVID hit, man.
We do so many shows that it seems like I just saw you an hour ago.
Yeah,
oh, hey, good.
It's like, oh, yeah, what's up, man?
When you walked in, I didn't know your name, obviously. Because I don't know anybody's name. And I just remember, I was like, all right, sweet.
It
and
was
I
was like, March the 4th, 2020.
God damn.
Yeah.
Has so it been that long?
Yeah. Yeah,
so 3 years. Say, what,
March 21st right
3
now?
3 years?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Isn't that crazy?
And you're still working there. And yeah, you're still
yeah,
alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Somehow.
That's nuts, dude.
Yeah, the metal keeps missing me.
Do you have like a Captain America shield or anything?
I don't have a Captain America shield, but I also need to get one.
Yeah.
Part of
yeah,
the reason I'm in the U.S. is I need to buy one.
Yeah, we can hook you up with a guy downtown. Perfect. There's a van.
It's awesome.
If you need a pit bull, too, like a young pit bull, we can get that as well.
They say it's a pet pit bull, but by the time it's fully grown, you can tell it's a mutt.
Yeah, it's a mutt. It's definitely
but it's still
a
cute. I mean,
it's still nice. You can take that home with
and
you.
And in a pinch, you can eat
comfort
that
animal. Help with the PTSD.
So for 3 years, you've been doing this over there. I'm assuming you're not married?
No, I'm not married at the moment.
Because nobody would put up with that.
No, no one's going to put up with that. That's the struggle is real.
It is.
Yeah,
and then how many
yeah.
months out of the year would you say that you're there still?
Well, so over the last couple of years, because of COVID, I wasn't able to get out there for a while. And then I was in Ukraine, and then I was in
Where
Africa.
The real conflict is going on.
Where the real conflict is going on, yeah.
Were you helping out people during the war?
In Ukraine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was in Kyiv when the Russians were still advancing on Kyiv.
One more time, it's Kyiv, correct?
No, it's not.
It's Kyiv, right?
What?
You can answer it. You were there.
Kyiv is the Kyiv. Seat of the original Russian power, and it's been pronounced Kyiv for fucking 10,000 years.
So get an answer.
So the Russians call it Kyiv. And the Ukrainians call it Kyiv.
I know.
Kyiv, yeah.
But the Ukrainians are the Russians just from 1,000 years ago.
No.
It's the same fucking group of people.
Sorry, I stand with Ukraine, obviously.
Who named the city Kyiv.
It's Kyiv.
No.
It's Kyiv.
Not
and
at all.
They're getting their faces made that, Kyived all over.
You've never heard the word Kyiv before a year and a half ago.
No, that's true. I've never heard the word Kyiv before a year and a half ago.
That is not true.
Because no one that matters says
now
it.
I still
that
call
is
it
not
Kyiv.
True. I just haven't cared about Ukraine for...
Until a year and a half ago.
Oh, I still don't care.
A year and a half ago, yeah. No, you're right. I don't care either. But it's something about Kyiv that really hits home for me.
Yeah, you like
because
that?
I can't describe
it. It sounds dirty.
It sure doesn't.
It sounds like you're getting your chest Kyived on or something.
Yeah, well, look, if you get Kyived all over, you get Kyived all over.
Yeah.
How long were you in Kyiv?
So I spent about a total, I want to say maybe 6 to 8 weeks total in Ukraine. I think I was in Kyiv for maybe 3 or 4 weeks of that. So when I was there, it was actually when the Russians stopped their advance. Again, because I'm Rambo. Yeah, it was 100% me. So the Russians were advancing. We were there helping prepare, again, the medical situation. And then the Russians stopped and they started pulling back. And so then I went down to Odessa because we thought at the time that that's where we thought the Russians were going to basically open up a second front in Odessa, do some sort of amphibious assault. So, yeah, I was there for maybe 2 months. And then my team, I brought those guys in after I'd been there for about a month. And then they stayed, I think, all the way until like mid-May. And we're all the way up on the front lines treating wounded and doing medical training, bringing in a whole bunch of medical supplies and stuff out in the far east, out in Severodonetsk and stuff like that as it was being attacked.
How bad is it?
The war?
Yeah.
It's horrible. So I'll give you one quick story. So like I said, I was in Kyiv when the Russians stopped and when they pulled back. So we were actually staying in a house provided to us by a wealthy Ukrainian, and they just let us stay in their place. And we had been told that the wife of this family, she had told us that her mother, who has Alzheimer's, was in an area called Bucha, which was a part of Kyiv called Bucha, which was occupied at the time by the Russians. And so when the Russians stopped and they pulled back, Ukrainian forces went back into that particular neighborhood and started liberating it. But that's when the first major massacres had been found. And so
when you say major massacre, how many people would you say died?
Hundreds. And I'm talking like civilians. So they were dragging civilians out in the street, stripping them naked, shooting them in the head, burning the bodies, raping the women. The mother of the lady.
This is the Russian soldiers.
This is the Russian soldiers doing this to Ukrainian civilians just in like a suburb of Kyiv.
Okay.
And so then we found out that the mother of the wife of the family that was letting us stay in their house, she was found, from what I understand, naked, shot in the back of the head. And keep in mind, this is like a 70 or 80 year old lady with Alzheimer's, and all the people from that old folks' home, the Russians had pulled them all out into the street and massacred them all in the middle of the road. And there were bodies, naked bodies, just stacked on top of each other. The Russians had done this right before pulling out, mm-hmm. and burned a lot of the bodies. Obviously, raped a lot of the women, and just so the images and stuff that we saw. Were unbelievable. I didn't go personally see it. The Ukrainians were keeping it completely sealed off from outsiders, which is totally understandable. But yeah, so that was the beginning, right? That was just how things started. And yeah, the war obviously got much, much more violent in the East, mm-hmm. and whatnot. Another quick story. So I wasn't there for this. This was two of the guys on my team. They had moved forward into a place called Severodonetsk, which at the time the Russians and the Ukrainians were fighting over. They were staying in an old Soviet bunker underground, and there was actually like a mural of Lenin, not Stalin, Lenin, a mural of Lenin on the wall. Yeah, John Lennon. Yeah.
From the Beatles.
Yeah. He's the big mural of him on the wall. And so they were staying down there with these soldiers for several days, just training them. And so my guys, they messaged me and they're like, "Hey man, can we pull back? Like we're gonna get killed if we stay out here. Can we pull back? Are you okay with that?" And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely, totally. Your guys' call. You know the situation. Pull back and whatever. Leave the medical supplies, but get out of there." I think 24 or 48 hours later, that position was completely overrun by Russian troops, and we got reports that Russian soldiers with night vision goggles, so special forces or whatever, might have been Spetsnaz, I don't know. But Russian forces with night vision goggles went into that same exact bunker where those guys had been sleeping. They went in there and killed everybody. Sure. So, yeah, our guys, had they stayed there 48 hours longer out of a sense of pride or something, very, very high likelihood they would have been killed. So very violent, very dynamic, very different than any kind of war that most American veterans have ever been involved in. So again, my hat's off to all the guys that are going over there and are helping. I truly, truly nothing but respect, because it was a situation that I looked at and I was thinking, man, like I don't know if I have the courage to go up there and get in the trenches. So it's a very, very different, very violent war, because you're also dealing with two different armies that are roughly equally matched, technologically and numerically, roughly. And so what happens is, like, you just have massive amounts of casualties. The American military, we're used to doing what's called asymmetrical warfare, where we completely dominate our enemies, right? We outnumber them. We have way better technology than them. We just swarm them because we know where they're at, and we just, crush them. And there's no chance for them to even resist, really. This is totally different. This is World War II style tanks firing on other tanks and trench warfare and all that. Yeah.
In your best guess, what do you think is going to happen over there, and when will this end?
My best guess, again, I it's hard to predict the future. I thought the country would fall in 4 days. Obviously,
I think we all did.
Yeah, we all did. Yeah. So I'm not going to sit here and bet too much on my own personal opinion, but I think that at some point a deal will be reached. I don't know when or how that's gonna play out. I think some sort of deal will be reached, because the Ukrainians don't have the strength to push the Russians out, and the Russians don't have the strength to take the rest of the country. So it's going to be a stalemate. At some point, you're going to have to sign some kind of peace deal. The Russians are going to continue to occupy eastern parts of Ukraine. That's my best guess. I could be totally wrong. But yeah,
because Dan has said a few times in the show that this is going to go on for years, and then right before we went on air, you got an update of some weapons that are going to head to the country earlier than expected.
We're speeding up the timeline on the Patriot batteries and the tanks that we're sending.
The U.S. is. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they've already got Leopard 2 tanks over there, or at least on the way from Poland. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, the tanks are going to be for setting a cordon on whatever the armistice line happens to be, I think. I don't think there's going to be a tank offensive, even the spring fighting season. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because Russia dominates the eastern Ukrainian airspace right now.
Right.
And they're just going to light those tanks up. Mm. So that would not be smart, I don't think. But they will get them in country and, you know, continue moving them east to a point where they meet resistance, I would imagine.
Okay.
We'll see.
So it's interesting that you're here, because, you know, you hear Zelensky on every fucking American media outlets talking about what's going on in there and the massacres and all this other stuff. And people are saying, It's true, it's false. But you can actually confirm that is what's going on over there.
No, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I don't know where this weird narrative started that I think it's probably a Russian propaganda narrative that's all a lie and it's all, you know, that the Ukrainians are making stuff up. And no, I'm telling you, like I saw the photos and videos right after they were taken, and, you know, people with tears in their eyes showing me their dead family members on the side of the road.
It's
and
not I'm very like, hard to like, believe oh, that Russians are committing war. I mean, they have their military is inept. They're not very good at doing war.
Which was shocking to me.
Well, I mean,
was shocked.
If you think about it, the last time they fought a major one was World War II, right? I mean, they've had conflicts all over, including Vietnam.
Well, Afghanistan.
Afghanistan. I mean, yeah. But that Afghanistan had no air at all. And they dominated Afghanistan until we sent Stinger missiles over there and started shooting those goddamn things out of the sky. But Russia's military has been particularly good at sending in cannon fodder, right? Mm-hmm. They try to overwhelm you with an attrition war, but they can't do that against any kind of legit country at this point. Because they're not as technologically advanced as we are. Like America could roll through Russia pretty easily, because we could wipe out. One, we would have Navy surrounding them basically, and just preparing the battlefield, and then we would have air superiority. So, but yeah, Ukraine can't do that. But Russia sucks at fighting wars; they're terrible. They've always been bad at it.
And for you, why do you keep going to these countries to help out people instead of staying home and just, you know, starting a new life here and trying to figure it out? You seem like a guy who is constantly chasing these wars rather than, hey, I did my time, I did my service, and now I'm out on these wars. Like I'm all good. Why do you think you keep chasing these around the world?
So two comments on that. One is, I think the short answer is, like, I've seen too much, and I know the effect that one or two people with my background can have in these areas where there's zero support. That's one. And the other thing is, as far as like chasing it, I understand what you're saying. Like we are, going where the danger is, going where people need help. And that's why we go. That's why we go to these places specifically. When I was in the military, I was in Afghanistan and I was in a situation where I almost had to shoot two little girls. And luckily at the last second, I was screaming at them. I was actually reprimanded later for not shooting them, because they got pretty close to us and possibly had suicide vests on. So I screamed at them and I got these two little girls to run away from me. So I didn't have to kill them. And, but I just remember after that experience, that was actually only my second mission, my second time ever outside the wire. I was in that sort of situation. And I just remember thinking during my time in the military, man, like who's helping the sort of civilian side of this? You know, I know the American military, we do a lot of really good stuff to help out civilians and whatnot. But I just thought, man, like these poor little girls, they ran away from me back to the Taliban. And I'm like, they have no one helping them. It just kind of got me thinking about what are some other ways and places that I could help when I get out of the military to go and help. And then that's why I got out in 2017 and started Stronghold Rescue and Relief. It was because, I just wanted to, I've got one life to live, you know, and, I want to make sure that I maximize my time here on earth, helping as many people as possible, because what else am I going to do? Once you've seen this stuff firsthand, once you've seen what's going on, and then once you see like, oh, I can actually stop this, or I can help this, or I can provide medical care to this person, or I can, you know, set up humanitarian aid in these war zones specifically, you feel guilty leaving, honestly. So like I said, I just got back to the States a couple of weeks ago, after 4 months in the jungle. And when I landed back in the States, there wasn't this feeling of like, oh, relief. Oh, okay, I'm back. Everything's good. It wasn't that at all. I was like, man, I want to go back because, you know, I'm still getting reports of, you know, pictures of patients and stuff like the guy I was telling you about just yesterday. There's more patients coming in. They need a boat ambulance, right? So transport these patients across this lake and up these rivers and such. And so we're going back in a few weeks to start setting all that up. But I have to come back to the States so I can obviously fundraise and tell people what we're doing and raise support and all that. But, I guess I sound like a broken record here, but yeah, again, once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. And, you can't just sit back on the sidelines.
Got to get Conor McGregor to donate that fucking Ferrari boat or whatever.
I know the thing looks sexy, dude. You could do a lot of shit in that.
What did we decide it was called? Airboat?
Like the
airboat
Ferrari from
Gator
boats?
That Burt Reynolds had?
Airboat. Yeah, that's a
that'd
good
be
one.
Fucking dope.
That's a good old fashioned airboat. That'd be fucking sweet. Real quick, we got some sponsors that put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, GhostBed.com/drinking bros. Biggest savings in the history of GhostBed. 40% off everything in the entire store with the promo code Drinking Bros. At checkout. That is the mattresses, that is the sheets, it's the adjustable bases, the weighted blankets. Everything is 40% off with the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. Love the goddamn sheets. And also, there's no max on any of these things. So if you want to buy 6 sets of sheets or fucking 10 beds, whatever it is, put it in the cart. If they're going to offer this savings, take them to the fucking cleaners, is what I say. And get everything for 40% off with the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. The pillows are fucking incredible. They've got 3 different versions of those now. They're all cooling as well. And it's colder than the rest of the shit in your house. I don't really know how they do it. I know they got a patent on it and this cooling technology, but it is incredible. So go ahead and pile up the cart and use the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout for 40% off everything in the entire store. Now, if you want 50% off, you got to get that bundle package, dog. It's the adjustable base and the mattress combined together. The Split King, so I've heard, is the most popular option now. Apparently, a lot of people's partners go to sleep before or after them, and that's going to come with 2 remote controls, and you can go all the way up or all the way down and control your own destiny. You can watch March Madness in the bed while your lover goes to sleep. Man or woman, we don't judge. Matter of fact, being with a dude is probably easier these days. Make your own choice. Get a Split King on there. I've had the adjustable base for 3 years. Not going back. Huge fan of it. When you check out, you're going to see a 3-year pay-as-you-go program, no interest as long as you have decent credits. And all the deals that I mentioned are applicable with that. So therefore, when you check out, you can get a brand new bedroom set for about $20 a month at ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Next up, we got mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Recording the golf show. Next, that's Delco Dan's Dirty Golf Show and Drinking Bros Sports, making the picks here in a moment coming up. We've had a lot of success in picking winners this year in golf. That's been great. Obviously, March Madness is in full swing. And yes, we will be doing a live show for the NFL draft this year. And there's going to be huge odds on some of those draft picks. Got to look at that fucking kid from Georgia, man. I don't know where he's going to fall. It's going to be a ton of over-unders on that. Who's going to win it all this year in the NCAA tournaments? A lot of fun things to bet on over at mybookie.com. Again, use that promo code Drinking Bros to double your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. It just makes life more fun when you got a little something on those games in the background. Helps you get through life. Go to mybookie.com. Use promo code Drinking Bros to double your first deposit and turn your love of sports into your new side hustle at mybookie. Yeah, talking about eufy.com. The Eufy Video Lock is unbelievable. Get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver. No drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys when hands are full. Never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there. This is a must have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door. .com. But yeah. when you came back, one would imagine that you drove by a Taco Bell and you saw the Mexican pizza was back and you're like, maybe I'll stay. Because it's staying. It's going to stay on the menu. So do you really want to go back anymore when you have that option every
Well,
day
I mean, no? I'll take the recipe. I'll take the recipe with me back and I'll ask the locals if they can make it out of rice.
Not going to be the same. Burmese version of Taco Bell.
Oh, boy. What's that?
It's called dysentery.
Yeah. It's called jungle rat and rice. That's what it is.
I mean, if you grind it up, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. But last time you were here, I had asked you about what your parents thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've got two boys, and if they wanted to do this over and over and over again as a parent, I don't think I'd be able to fucking sleep.
Yeah. So my parents are actually extremely supportive. They have been, you know, my entire life, even my time in the military. They actually went in and signed the papers for me when I was 17 so I could join early to join the Navy. And, you know, they've been extremely supportive, and my mother in particular. So actually when I got shot in Iraq, I don't know if I told you guys this story or not, but when I got shot in Iraq, I called my mom. I was in the ambulance. I was fine. I just took a bullet through the calf. It was through and through. It was like, everything's fine. But I knew that something could pop up on social media and she might hear that I got shot and she might think for an hour that I'm dead. Right. So I immediately call her and I tell her, I was like, hey mom, like everything's fine. Don't panic. It's all good. I just got shot in the calf, but I'm good. So her response, without skipping a beat, she's like, oh, you got shot in the calf? Well, at least you didn't get shot in the bull. And I was like, what? And then I was like, oh. And then it took me a second to get the joke. She's like, at least you didn't get shot in the bull, like, instead of getting shot in the calf.
Mom
jokes. Like that was my mom's first response.
Like, I'm on fentanyl right now, mom. I don't understand.
Understand a word.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're still cool with it to this day?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously it's tough, you know, going over there and, you know, again, like I said, we get bombed and shot at and all that stuff. We're not there to fight, but yeah.
But one of these days, right? Mm-hmm. You put yourself in this much danger on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Are you really expecting to make it out of all of this alive?
You know, honestly, what I told myself, I was like, if I live to be 30, I'll probably be able to make it for the rest of the time.
Why is that?
I don't know. Just something in my head. I was like, I'm either going to die before I'm 30 or I'm going to be just fine. And so luckily I'm 30 now, so I'll be good, I think. But also too, with that being said, like in all seriousness, I do understand that, you know, eventually your number is going to, your ticket's going to get punched, right? And so for me, it's like, I'm very careful about what we do and make sure that if we are getting involved in a dangerous situation, that it's for a reason. And then I also, you know, do plan on hopefully in a few years, I don't know at what point, if I do have a family and kids and all that stuff, kind of pulling back, significantly and taking more of a sort of high level managerial position, if you will, and whatnot. But yeah, in the meantime, yeah, it is a risk, but it's like, okay, yeah, you see like a little like 8-year-old girl. Like, so I just posted a video on our Instagram today. There's like of people, it was last year, of people in Burma getting shot at by the Burma army. So it's little girls, little boys, and their moms running across this rice field. They're getting shot at and they're screaming and they're panicking and they don't know what to do. And so,
This is on your Instagram?
Yeah, we just posted this on Stronghold Rescue Instagram today.
Hey, Bob, do you want to bring that up on Stronghold Rescue? We can actually show the video. We're on Patreon today.
Oh, sweet, okay.
Yeah, so cool. We're able to show this. Perfect. This is something we wouldn't be able to get away with on YouTube, obviously.
Okay.
Show it. That way, okay, at least the audience can see visually what's going on here.
Yeah.
And
it's that second one there,
I'm surprised Instagram lets you post this. Have they ever taken any of this down?
So this one in particular, no, there's nobody. They didn't take it down. But there's no particular violence. There's no blood. Nobody gets hit in this video.
Okay.
But it's villagers running away, getting shot at. And so my point is, you see these little 7-year-old, 8-year-old girls and boys getting shot at, and then you can't sit there and go, what about my Taco Bell, right? Like, your brain wouldn't do that. And you as well. Like, if you saw this in reality, like if somebody was trying to kill your kids, you're not going to be like, oh, Taco Bell, right?
Sure.
You're going to try to do whatever you can within reason to help them. And again, you can't chase it, right? You can't be chasing the action. So that's another thing too. I'm very careful with the personnel that we bring on, because you do have guys, you know,
who want to go Rambo,
but that's the thing. You don't go Rambo. Rambo's a movie, man. Like, you will get killed. You run around out there. It is.
It seems like it was pretty real to me.
It's a documentary. Yeah, it's sort of a documentary.
Almost like a doc. So play that video. Which one is it? The second one?
Yeah, the second one there.
Play this video, Bob. Let's see this one. And I pop that up.
So you hear the increased gunfire as they're running right now. Like, these people are being targeted. It's like a little girl in a yellow shirt. This isn't a soldier.
Why are they being targeted?
Because they're ethnic minorities and they refuse to bow the knee to the Burma army. Okay. That's it.
So why doesn't somebody go in and murder all of these people?
Oh, hold on one second. I want to point out something too. In this little video, that little boy there, he's holding a kitchen knife. You notice he has nothing on his back. He doesn't have a backpack on. He has nothing. He's holding a kitchen knife. This little boy. So, and that, I don't know like the exact details on that situation. Mm-hmm. I didn't take the video, but this little boy was just pushed out of his village. His mom and his sisters are all about to get raped and murdered if they don't get the hell out of there. Mm-hmm. And all he can do, what's the one thing he grabs? He doesn't grab his toys, doesn't grab anything. He grabs a kitchen knife.
To protect his mom and his sister.
And he's sitting there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you see that, and how can you not go back? How can you not help? How can you not be like, hey, man, put the kitchen knife away. I got you. Like, I will help you. And I can't do all your fighting for you. That's not why I'm there. I can't fight for you, but I can provide medical support to the guys who are fighting for you, the freedom fighters. I can, you know, we can help provide reconnaissance. We can help evacuate wounded. We can do all of that. We can provide, we can get you to safety. We can get you food, humanitarian relief, mm-hmm. you know?
How old are you in real life?
30 in real life.
Just making sure, because you do a lot of
in fictional
of movies.
Stuff.
We need to know. Because you play younger, obviously, mm-hmm. but you're 30 in real life. Is there an age where you say, hey, I'm going to be tapped out of this? Because we had a bunch of the Save Our Allies guys on who were over there helping out. And some of them came back and they were just like, shit, man, I'm fucking getting old to do this shit.
Is
there an age where you think you'll tap out of this, where you're like, this is just too dangerous and I won't be able to keep doing this forever?
I don't think there's an age where the danger will affect me so much. I think it's more just where I'm at in life. Like I said, if I do get married, have kids, things like that, if there is a way for me to sort of have a bigger impact, you know, from a more of a managerial or high level position, I'll start to step back a little bit. But I have no, like, for example, I have no intention of continuing to do this when I'm 50. I'm not, you know,
gotcha.
I'm not, I'm under no illusions that my body will hold up that long. But in the meantime, okay, we do a lot of training. And there's tons of younger guys, a lot of guys getting out of the military. We get guys hitting us up every day on our website saying, hey, I'm going to come volunteer. I'm going to work with you guys and that stuff. We don't take volunteers. Very, very rarely do we take volunteers. But the point is I want to get the organization to the point where we can have a bunch of guys who are on payroll and who are able to go do this full time, younger guys. And they're able to go do this. Yeah.
So besides Burma and Ukraine, where are some other regions that you guys are helping out in right now?
So we helped out a bunch in the Afghanistan situation, the Afghanistan withdrawal. Of course, a lot of people pitched in.
Were you
to
over
help
there personally for that?
No, I never went over there personally. No. And we're still helping out there a little bit. We have a few more families that we're helping out, but then we're kind of done there. We actually just started.
Done because it's over and all those people are out, or done because you're out of resources there and it's...
Done because we simply don't have the resources, and now also the Taliban is in charge. So if you try to start doing anything over there, now you're dealing with this weird... You know, with this weird world of like, now you're working with the Taliban to like do any kind of humanitarian aid and stuff like that. Our organization is not nearly big enough to be able to navigate that. We don't have the
or negotiate with the Taliban
or like, yeah, it's just the situation is very much different. We have a few families, like I said, that we're fully committed to, and we're going to get them out. But after that point, you know, the huge, you know, billion-dollar NGOs, they can get in there and they have the resources to be able to kind of deal with that. We actually just started working in October. We just started working in Africa, working in the anti-poaching world. So we're not there to stop like poaching. What we're there... So again, our focus is on dealing with conflict zones. So the conflict that we're helping out, helping the people out in Africa is with the poaching wars. And it's not just poaching, it's conservation stuff. So there's illegal mining and logging, and a lot of it's backed by Chinese syndicates. And so also with that, there's of course drugs and human trafficking, and there's this, it's all one big mess that can happen. And so we're over there working with, we just started this, we're starting working with park rangers and are helping them so they can make safe arrests, so they can provide medical care, not only for themselves, but also for the communities who live in these national parks. We're actually creating a curriculum right now that's specifically a medical training curriculum that's specific for park rangers, because they're dealing with tactical situations. They're dealing with vehicle accidents. They're dealing with downed helicopters. They're dealing with, just animal trauma. Actually, when we were there, I was just in Mozambique in October, and while we were there, we were running a medical training class, you know, just basic medical stuff, and then we got a call that one of the rangers had been attacked by a black rhino, and so we had to. I sent two of my guys in a helicopter to go get eyes on the guy, and then myself and a South African tracker, we went in on foot to help, you know, get this guy out. The ranger ended up being okay.
Okay,
but that's one of the places that we're starting to work now. Yeah, is in Africa, so it's totally new to us, but. A lot of people over there need help, and it's a good place to assist as well.
Gotcha. Yeah, it seems like with everything going on in the world, it would be difficult to cover this many regions and territories and help out with all this shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, there's a never ending need at any place that we go to, and then all the places that we don't go to. Right? Mm-hmm. There's so much need that's out there. But again, the fact that we are able to help in Burma and Ukraine and Afghanistan and Africa, it's all because we do have, we have like an ever growing group of, like we call them micro donors, or like, it's sort of like crowdsourcing. So we're a nonprofit, and we have all these people who pitch in like a little bit every month. If people ask, well, what's the best way to help financially? We just say, hey, why don't you give, you know, 50 cents a day, right? So it's like $15 a month, sort of like a Netflix subscription kind of thing. And that's what enables us to go out there and to do all these things, is because we have thousands of people who each just pitch in a little bit every month, because there is the need in Africa. So we're only in one country, and now that we've helped in that one country, there's already like three other countries that have asked for our help.
Yeah.
Not to mention we've got a country down in the Caribbean is asking for our help. And
do you mind me asking which country it is?
Oh, it's Haiti. Okay. We have some guys down in Haiti that have been asking for help.
Because Haiti's been fucked for years.
Dude, it is. And we were down there, I think a year and a half ago. I forget the exact timeline. I think end of 2021, I want to say, we were down there again, setting up the medical stuff for the Haitian police, because those guys are getting shot up all the time. They have, again, there's zero medical support on any of this stuff. And so they don't know how to treat civilians who are getting shot by the gangs. Obviously, you know, if you're a Haitian police officer, you get called to a crime scene, a woman's been raped, or someone's been attacked or whatever. They don't know how to treat these people. They don't know what to do because they don't have the training. They're very poor. But they're very hardworking, very courageous, and they want to help. So we go in and try to provide that service for free. Because if you try to bring in, you know, a private military company or something, it would be, you know, you have to pay everybody, you know, $1,500 a day to be there in these places and provide this kind of support.
Yeah, my father had been to Haiti in the 80s a few times, and he told me some stories later in life when I was older, and I was like, how bad was it? And he goes, man, it's in the 80s, it was fucking awful. So I can't, like, it's been going on forever. But he said, once you land, you pretty much have to hire at least 2 to 4 armed guards. They kind of go with you everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. And any type of business or anything that goes on there, you don't leave your hotel room. Mm-hmm. You know, you get food to the room and all that other shit. And I'm like, God damn, is it that bad?
Yeah.
And that
yeah,
was
really
in the
is.
80s. And, yeah. And, I mean, if it hasn't changed since the 80s, like, will it ever change?
This is why colonizing is a good thing. I'm not kidding. Like, you teach people fucking foundational infrastructure and government. And then, you know, we have the ability now, since it's not empires doing it, to do that and then fuck off. Mm-hmm. You don't have to stay there and occupy the spot. But we haven't done shit for Haiti.
I think the Haitian government was actually just asking for U.S. military intervention or something.
Were they really?
I think so. Or they were about to officially ask for it or something. But yeah, the Haitian government is right now, unfortunately, is almost a failed state. It's pretty much a failed state. You could argue if it is or if it isn't, because the gangs, for the most part, control the vast majority of Port-au-Prince, which is the main city there.
Right.
Yeah. So the gangs really are the ones who are in control. And sort of are squeezing the government to death, sort of choking them off at this point. But also the gangs don't really want the government to go away, because then they'll have to, you know, then they'll govern. Have to govern. And yeah, then that's, they don't really want to do that. So yeah, it's very, very chaotic situation. And, you know, we want to go to Haiti and help. We want to go to help all these different places. The issue is just, it's just a matter of being able to hire enough guys to be able to go and do it. And so that just comes to like how much support do we have, right? Like we want to go put in this
it seems like it's endless
thing. Yeah, it really is endless. But the thing is, you know what I always tell people when they ask, like, well, why do you go to these wars? And I was like, war is never going to end. And I'm like, yeah, well, like, you don't fight a war to end all war. You fight a war, or you go to these situations to purchase a limited amount of freedom for a limited amount of people for a limited amount of time, and then you got to go do it again. That's just the way that it works. And your job as a warrior, your job as a soldier, not that I am a soldier anymore, but my job is to go there and basically just stand in the gap. And if you have enough people standing in the gap, you can build that wall to protect civilization. And, you know, to greater or lesser degrees, it's never going to be perfect. But if you just give up and you don't continue helping, well, then yeah, the chaos will reign, and which is sort of what's happening in Haiti.
In a place like Burma, though, at some point, somebody's going to have to go there and kill these motherfuckers, right?
Yeah, yeah. The Burma government, like, for sure. Go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they 100% have to go. So, it's a terrible amount of
oppression.
Not
the case in Haiti, by the way. Haiti is just a fit. There's a ton of good people down there. Mm-hmm. They just don't know what the fuck they're doing. Mm. So in a vacuum like that, especially with standoff, with no real physical border. I mean, they're on Hispaniola and shit, but there's a pretty big mountain range between them and the Dominican, and the mm-hmm. Dominican watches that mountain range pretty fucking closely to keep those assholes out. Mm-hmm. It's not that. They just need to be empowered to learn how to run their own government.
Yeah.
Burma needs kinetic warfare. They need, mm-hmm. those motherfuckers have to die at some point, right? I mean, if for that situation to change, that's how it's got to be, but mm-hmm. not your job, obviously, but...
Yeah, well, and I think also, too, that goes down to, you know, you want to start talking about American foreign policy. You look at, dude, if you just took like 10 Stinger missiles, maybe, like just like 10, and you brought them into Burma, you could have some agency guys go in, you know, to personally fire them if you need to, and knock out some of these aircraft like in Burma, because the ground forces are actually able to take on the Burma army, especially now over the last couple of years. The war has really shifted. But the problem is the Burma army still has air power. So they're calling in fighter jets to do, you know, strafing and bombing runs on the freedom fighters, and then also they're bombing villages and all that stuff. So, I mean, if you could just knock out a couple of their aircraft, that would totally change the...
How many aircraft do they have?
I don't know. I would say dozens, though. It's in the dozens. Like, so,
oh, we can...
So yesterday...
That would be pretty fucking easy.
In one weekend.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. And you don't even have to knock them all out. You just need to knock out like two or three of them, and then they'll be too afraid to put them up in the air anymore.
What would be the conflict there? I guess China? Or who would be pissed off by that if we actually
China's selling the government weapons, so they might be mad that they're not selling, but it's apparently not to the
Burmese army.
Yeah, okay. So China, Russia, they sell stuff to them.
But it's not going to be enough to really matter for their bank accounts. They don't, mm-hmm.
That's not so much the issue. The issue is more the border countries. So you've got like India, Thailand, China, Laos. They all border Burma to lesser or greater degrees. So if you do want to have any kind of military intervention, you have to go through those countries, right? You have to work with them. And so is India going to approve American forces going in there to cross their border illegally into Burma? you know, or will Thailand allow that? Will Laos allow that?
I mean,
you know,
Thailand might be amenable to that sort of thing. We do a lot of training with their special forces, mm-hmm. but I don't know if they want a bunch of chaos nearby.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't fully understand it well enough to even, you know why they would or wouldn't allow that. Yeah.
Certainly not Bangladesh. Because no. That's a terrorist state. More
they're
or less.
Not going to do anything. Not the
government, but the...
No.
Yeah.
Well,
tell people how they can find you and help out there.
Yeah. So if people want to help support what we're doing, our website is strongholdrescue.org. And then our Instagram is, at Stronghold Rescue. And yeah. And if people want to support financially, like I said, we do sort of a subscription model where just people give a little bit every month. And we do things a little different too. So we actually limit the amount that people can give per month to $1 a day. So basically $30 a month. Because we have people who reach out to us and they say, hey, I've got $100 a month I want to give to nonprofit organizations. And so what we say is like, hey, that's great. Why don't you, you can send 20 our way, but we want people to support other organizations as well. So, hey, go give 20 bucks a month to Save Our Allies and go give 20 bucks a month to whatever else that you care about, your local pet shelter, whatever.
Yeah.
And so we want people to, because we know that it's, the more things that you're involved in, those causes become nearer to your heart, and I think it leads to a little more happiness, a little bit better of a life. And so, yeah, if people want to support us, strongholdrescue.org. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they might be sending you to New York next here. The breaking news here. We got...
Oh, boy. What do we got? What do we got?
Trump said he's going to be arraigned next week. he's expected to be indicted tomorrow. Secret Service will make plans for his surrender and appearance in a New York court next week. It says 36,000. NYPD officers are in uniform and on notice for deployment. That's an interesting word to use there. After Trump called for his supporters to protest his imminent indictment here. I saw late last night they were putting up, setting up barricades and all that stuff.
Well, you
outside
can't.
Outside of there?
Yeah, you can't move them out of the way and let people into the Capitol unless you set them up first.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, it's. you have to maintain appearances.
Yeah. Do you follow any of this stuff overseas? Do you follow what's going on here? Do you listen to podcasts? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, I do. I do a little bit. But I find the more that I'm at, the more that I'm overseas, the less I pay attention to stuff. But I do get caught up on everything. So I have been tracking that this whole thing with Trump.
Well, it seems like our political system is about to collapse. So that's good. Because our political system sucks.
Yeah, we could be on the verge of something like what you're dealing with over there.
Let's not do that.
Revert to local control. That's the way our system of government set up.
I'd like to be king here. I'd like to be king of this little...
I was thinking about
that.
You'd
be my first vote. Not that you want votes as king.
I know I do.
But I do.
I still need your vote.
A democratically elected king would be interesting.
Wouldn't it?
Like it's...
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I've said this for years now, for the half decade I've been doing this, but I like the idea of a benevolent dictator. Mm-hmm. And I actually was thinking about it. I got really high last night. So these thoughts should be pretty
cool. Was that new or was that the first time?
Yeah, it's my first time, yeah. but I was thinking about more like the Norse tradition of a warrior chieftain of some sort, but you're limited, instead of having term limits on the office, you're limited by age, right? Uh-huh. So between 30 and 50, you can serve in that capacity. And then at 50, you retire. But every retired warrior chieftain sits on an advisory board, right?
Okay. Mm.
Essentially, to advise the king. I think that's a good idea.
That's not bad.
Like, honestly, people are like, oh, what about fucking voting and democracy? I'm like, all right, cool, man. Look, it's not really doing really well to have a popularity contest to decide who gets to fucking rob you of your tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like. I'm very romantic about the core concepts of America, like individual liberty and shit. Obviously, mm-hmm. Is the most important thing to me. But we're not really achieving it through allowing a bunch of people to vote your rights away from you whenever they feel like it, even if it's through a second party, meaning an elected official.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like this is working out really well.
Yeah.
It's getting worse by the day.
Yeah. I forget which founding father was. I want to say Madison, but he had some quote. I'm going to butcher it, but he said, basically, our system of government is designed for a moral and religious people and is wholly inadequate to the governance of that of any else. And he's like, human passions unbridled will break through our constitution like a whale through a net, something like that. So yeah, I mean, as a society, as individuals devolve and start to make worse and worse decisions, democracy stops working, because democracy is dependent. A strong democracy is dependent on strong individuals, to your point, is dependent on strong individuals who understand what they're voting on, who understand the issues, and are also willing to, you know, if they lose, are willing to go along with, you know, are willing to go along peacefully with the other side until the next time that they can vote, right? And then they can always go along peacefully, but wait till the next election if you got an issue.
Yeah.
That's not a very resilient system of government.
What is it?
Ours, the one you just described, entirely reliant on people being reasonable in mass at the level. It's not scalable, right? Mm. Although I don't think any system of government is scalable. That's why we...
Well, yeah, it's run by humans.
Yeah. We intentionally try to keep government small here at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because we were like,
right.
What's that phrase? Power corrupts, ultimate power corrupts.
Ultimate.
Or absolute power. Yeah.
Yep,
it's like, that's pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. Let's maybe we don't do that.
Yeah.
So that fucking big piece of land that I'm going to buy, where all of you are welcome to come hang out, I'm the king of that land.
Yeah, you're going to... Are you wearing a crown, though?
No.
You're not. Mm. That's interesting.
His beard is his crown.
Yeah.
Well, it is and it isn't. I saw a photo, and I don't know, Delco, if you want to bring that up. Delco was at a Ren Fair over the weekend with Giorgio. If you can pop up the pic of Delco there, this looks fun.
Well, he was Catholic in that.
Oh, and this.
He was a Knights Templar.
Was that what it was?
He was a crusader.
There
basically.
It is. Yeah, pop it up on screen. Giorgio was a peasant.
Oh, he was. Wow. So you can see Delco right there. He's on his way to murder a bunch of people in
that
Palestine.
That looks fun. Yeah, look at that.
Make a couple of stops in fucking Germany and France on the way back to rob those assholes.
Yeah, is that why you did it? Is because you are Catholic?
I am Catholic. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you picked out that particular outfit because of it.
Well, it's iconic. That's an iconic look. It's a fucking crusader.
It's a great look, and that's what I would have based it on. Not
King
my religion.
Fucking Richard the Lionheart. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Although, I would have based it on the look, not the religion.
To be fair, on his way back from the Second Crusade, he was trying to steal some shit from a fucking French castle and got shot through the fucking neck with an arrow.
That's gonna happen.
He could have just came home.
He could have.
And then we got King John, who was a total cunt.
Yeah.
But we did get the Robin Hood story out of that.
Which is nice. We got to see Kevin Costner's ass.
No. The best Robin Hood is the one with who's that guy that throws chairs and shit at people and telephones?
Russell Crowe
Robin Hood movie is the best one I've ever seen.
That was
really
good.
It's
that was good.
So fucking good.
I think I've seen it. What were we gonna say, Bob?
I was gonna say, people don't know this, but the Templar outfit designed by Hugo Boss.
No shit.
Oh shit, and they did the Nazis too.
Oh yeah,
fucking Hugo Boss is on point with those outfits,
dude.
Look, if I'm gonna start some genocidal group, I'm definitely going to Hugo Boss for the outfit.
There you
go.
Yeah, are you guys having outfits on the farm? What are you going to do there?
Mm. You can wear and do whatever you want as long as you do your job.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Mm. Like pick up trash or farm or whatever the fuck. I'm building a commune.
But nobody's, as I'm saying, but nobody's, nobody has to wear the same outfits and shit. It's not like Heaven's Gate where you're all wearing.
No.
All right. Just checking, dude.
If somebody wants to have a cult, that's is their right to do that.
All right. So is there a portion of the land that's going to be designated for a sex cult?
I would say if you're going to make it a sex cult, it's all the land.
Okay.
All right. Right?
And you just want it out in the open and hey, you know, enjoy yourself.
You although, as I've stated, I need four walls and a roof.
Obviously.
To come.
Obviously. Yeah, to come. Yeah. So. To come. There was a movie. God, there was a movie about a commune a few years ago that came out that I really liked. It was
The Village.
No, it was Jennifer Aniston and Paul Rudd. Do you remember the name of this, Bob?
What?
It was a comedy. The guys from Wet Out American Summer did it. That's it. So it could be like that. And they all had chores, and then they all fucked each other. And very similar to that, but they weren't wearing the same outfits, so I understand it.
Well, the people that live on my land are going to be required to do quite a bit of training, right? Because I expect there's a fight coming at some point, so you're going to have to be... It's basically just the old, God, I can't remember what the pre-biblical reference to it is, but it's referenced in the Bible too. It's basically, if you don't work, you don't eat, right?
Yeah. Mm.
And in this case, work means defending our territory against everybody else.
Okay.
Are you going to expand?
No.
You're not going to expand?
Nope.
Okay.
No,
but I will,
to keep it small.
But I will do a 12-part course on the internet to teach other people how to do whatever.
Yeah, and it's going to be a master class on Facebook.
Perfect.
So
perfect.
No, for real, I've thought about that. No, I would not expand it. I don't think that's appropriate. I will purchase. I mean, if I want to purchase more land and I'm capable of purchasing more land, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to like violently expand. I don't think that's ever appropriate.
What's the limit on humans on this land?
I don't know. It depends on how much I buy, I guess.
Okay. I don't know if you had an exact number in mind. That how would be too hard acre? To control.
I would have to talk to my buddy who runs game for us to see like how much the land can provide for people.
Okay.
That would be the answer to that question.
All right.
Because I don't want to have to go anywhere else for water or food.
Okay. Mm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
That's fair.
Ephraim, now's the part of the show we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week. Obviously, you've done this before, so don't do the same one. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
Oh, man. I don't remember who I did last time. I don't remember. Actually, you know what? I've got two Drinking Bros. I gotta do two. So
sure.
On this last trip into Burma, two of the guys on my team, Adam and Jason, they went and lived in the jungle and did an insane amount of work getting these jungle ambulances set up and, risking airstrikes and risking all that and being out there and had great attitudes the whole time and were happy to do it. And so, yeah, those dudes are definitely the Drinking Bros of the Week in my book. And, yeah, they deserve all the credit because I'm just one dude. I can only do a little bit. But with those guys, it's like we can 10X everything that we do because they just work their butts off and, yeah, they're the best.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah, yeah. We've also got a listener here in the studio. Are you allowed to come on up and give a Drinking Bro of the Week out? Sure. Yeah, come on up, dude. Come on up. Look at that beard. That is majestic.
Mm.
My God, sir.
Come over here.
That
and take
is
my spot.
Something to believe in. Wow. Look at that goddamn thing.
So when you say a listener, what do you mean?
Listener of the show. You know, it listens.
You just bring, you
we,
bring.
Oh, we leave the doors open. So the
no
rules.
Kidding.
Yeah, the rules here are.
I mean,
so
you don't
shocked.
Listen to the show.
Well, he's been in Burma. You know,
little
sorry.
Out of pocket.
Yeah. Yeah. Internet there. Yeah.
Put the mic about an inch from your face. There, it moves. So you can go all the way up. There you go.
Here we go.
Yeah, it's one of those things. So for us, all the shit you see here, the buildings and everything else. The only reason why we're able to do this is because of the listeners. Therefore, we leave the doors open. So if you want to come in, watch a live show, drink some hard AF seltzers, get fucked up, you're welcome to do so. And then you can give out your own Drinking Bro of the Week. Since you're here, tell everybody what your name is.
My name's Rob Grabowski.
Hell yeah. How long have you been listening to the show?
Holy shit. Probably since 2015, 2016.
Oh, damn, dude.
Like
old
been a
school.
Hot minute.
Yeah, day one homie.
Yeah.
I like it, dude. I like it. You know the drill. Who'd you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
Drinking Bro of the Week for me definitely goes out to one of my Marines, Andrew Campbell.
Okay.
We still keep in touch to this day. Meeting up here in a few weeks in Tennessee, actually, to do some turkey hunting together.
Ah, so, shit. That'll be dope.
Yeah. Yeah, probably snag some hard AF while I'm in the state over there.
Oh, yeah.
I've had some shipped to the house, made some sketchy decisions.
Well, it's 8%, and that's going to happen.
It does happen. You know,
it's going to happen.
Notorious for saying that it sneaks up on you, and that definitely happened.
Isn't it crazy? Mm. So yeah. We're going to be in two Major League Baseball stadiums this year and a soccer stadium. I don't know that people...
they're not prepared for
it. They're not going to be prepared for what
I'm ready for the headlines. There's definitely going to be a few.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
It's going to be exciting.
Fun.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It's
going
to be a blast.
Yeah.
We appreciate you coming in today.
For sure.
You can take a case home if you want.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Take it.
Yeah.
Take it. Interesting show today. Every time you come on, man, it's fascinating. And I'm shocked you're alive every single time. So
it's because he's a goddamn superhero.
I know. Next time you're...
Just lucky. That's
next
it.
Next time you're back, you're always welcome here because you've got an interesting insight on the world. And again, a lot of these stories... people just don't know that this is going on around the world, myself included, because the media is focused on one thing, one particular narrative.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really give a shit about the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. It's not sexy enough.
Yeah,
you know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying. Yeah, for
Ukraine
sure.
is definitely one that's like, oh my gosh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it, shit, we don't hear about it unless you come back on the show. So
right.
You're welcome
good.
Anytime. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you guys. I really appreciate you having
Absolutely.
Me on.
Go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star. And then you can just walk away at that point. No pressure. Dang it. And then Hard AF Seltzers. We'll ship them right to your house, exactly like he said. And you can go to the website, hardafseltzer.com. Click on the store locator and find one nearest you in Tennessee or Florida. And then we ship to 40 other states. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.